Go ahead and call the meeting to order. Have approval of the agenda.
I move we approve the agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Approval of board minutes for July 27th, 2023, board meeting.
You need to talk in the mic a little bit.
Thank you.
Newer process, sorry.
Aye.
Aye.
Visitors' comments? Board member comments? Committee reports, resource committee. Not a lot to report. The resource committee met, got a report. Things are looking a little bit better financially. We have optimistic hopes that they will continue to look that way going forward. And our investments made a little bit of a gain, and we're optimistic that they will continue to do so. We will get a financial report of the later on in the meeting, too. LTC committee?
Long-term care committee met, and no issues of concern were brought up.
Reports, information technology. Have any questions regarding that report? None. Thank you, Jill, for that report. Materials management. Questions regarding that report? Hearing none, thank you, Melva, for that report. Medical records. Regarding the medical records report.
Only that I liked the idea of the form fillable forms. I think that that will be beneficial.
Yes, it will be. Thank you, Kim. Nursing.
I was wondering how many of our summer CNAs are leaving? Do you know?
Give us the mic on the.
We have at least two summer CNAs leaving, and then we had some travelers that are leaving kind of at the same time.
We only have two travelers that are gonna, do we have more coming to replace those?
We have two travelers currently, and then we are getting additional travelers to replace them.
How big is the class that you anticipate that's going on now?
We know, it's not starting till October, and we know there are three or four, but we aren't sure if there will be additional people interested.
Any other questions for Jennifer?
It's exciting that we're going to be doing endoscopies again.
Yes, we're the whole facility is working on a scope clinic in the very near future. So we're excited too.
Not sure that's the right word, but
appreciate it. Quality of infection prevention. Any questions on that report?
This is just another new exciting thing that that PMC is offering with these two classes for exercise and falls prevention, and it's just really really nice to see so much effort is going into these really positive directions.
That was one of our grants, the falls grant that we received through HRSA, that's helping drive that, which is really great.
Is that by any chance a renewable grant, or is that a one-time?
I believe it is a three-year grant, and we, you know, hopefully it'll be a cycle where we can redo it or build off of it. So, yeah.
Questions regarding that report? Thank you, Stephanie.
If you don't mind, I just highlight a couple of things on the quality report that I think are worthwhile.
Go ahead.
For the community, not just the falls prevention program, but the adult day program. We continue to move forward on that, and Kirsten and Home Health have been doing a really amazing job getting that centered and focused for the community. And additionally, we're doing a remote patient monitoring program. Which is underway, and that's kind of between the home health program and the clinic, and it's to with, you know, maybe complex patients that are able to have this call it health snap, to have some remote patient monitoring. And other areas of focus are hypertension through our clinic, and hypertension management and chronic care management, and trying to build out strategies and implementation for that. So very excited about a lot of the quality programs that are not just started in each different program, but there's a lot of overlap and collaboration between other departments, and then also within the community, with outside of the, into the community as well. So
On the infection control report, are there any questions regarding that one?
They're up, and are you guys using the solarium again now that there was no change, or?
We're not using the solarium yet. Okay.
Do we know what it would take to, what do we need to fix, study, whatever we need to do to it, or?
Yeah, I wasn't sure if we were going to address it here or in my report, but basically the solarium of the long-term care is just, we found some infection control issues with black mold and mold issues in the northwest wall, where water was leaking down through the windows probably for many years, and was discovered when we were evaluating the room, and it's deemed unsafe, and so we had to close it off. And we have, incidentally, the borough has also had some issues with a similar issue up the hill. So our facilities has reached out to that person to look at what we can do for redoing the room, maybe provide some options of what we can do, whether it's reusable or not, and running some cost estimates, and that's going to be probably a pretty significant cost to get that room back up to where it should be, where we're able to use it again.
Are we comfortable with the idea that it's just in that area?
I think it's worthwhile to do, I think Jennifer brought this up, really good, you know, really getting into doing a full evaluation of each infection control from an infection control standpoint, evaluating and doing a deep cleaning in all areas of the hospital, especially in patient care areas, to evaluate that. Solarium has been kind of a known issue from the exterior. We had the exterior wall done when I first got here, where the outside is like stucco, and it was almost falling off. I think there's insulation falling off. And when they redid that, the status of that just wasn't that great either. So I can't say I'm surprised. The solarium has these windows, and they have these, they're on the ceiling, and they come down, and they're just prone to, you know, leaking and probably having water come in through those entry points and then going down. And it's not really another place in a hospital like that. So I don't think is an issue, but we're gonna make sure we do a thorough environmental rounds on that.
You get a lot of condensation on it during the winter time on the windows?
I think Jennifer, I mean, it's either too hot or too cold. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I've never seen condensation.
Yeah, it's,
they're screwed shut.
It's either in the winter, it's extremely cold. There's a unit in there to heat it, a heat pump that can, but it just can't keep up with, because it'll either be very, very hot with the radiant sun in the summertime, and it'll be very cold in the winter. So it's a tough room, but it is a used room. It's something that the residents like to use. It's a place where we go and meet often every day on our rounds. So it's not like, it's definitely the residents wanted to know what's going on with that room, because they certainly like that room too. So we want to be able to address it, which is not just a room that is unused. So we certainly want to make sure that it gets addressed.
So I think it would be important to, one, find out the cost to repair, and then do a kind of assess the value we would get out of a couple of years if we do, because we kind of got to address it as if it's going to be there a while until we find out otherwise.
Yeah, we're in process. Wolf and Mike have reached out to, I believe, Bob Olson, and try to get an estimate on that. Yeah. Yeah.
Any other questions regarding that report? Infection control report. Thank you, Jennifer, for that one too. Executive summary.
Yeah. So, any questions on my report? I have just a few things to update in the report, and then also a few things that are not in there. I'll just brief the board on. So the first item, really, this is in response to the community input while we're here today, which is actually seems very official, which is good. But we were able to have more access and availability and transparency to the community. So I think this is a really good move for us as a facility to make sure that our information is presented to the public. And the second thing is, there was a recommendation from a community member to have the facility conditional assessment, the master plan, and a lot of the work that we're doing, architectural designs, all the work that we're doing from the professionals going back is in time, and having that available. We do have it available on our website, but not everyone, you know, either views that or likes to view all those documents. They like a hard copy. So the recommendation was to have it available into the library, and I reached out to Steve at the borough, and we reached out to the library, and they said, yeah, sure, that's not a problem. So we made all those documents available. They're copies, but they're available for reference in the library. So you can't check it out, but you can review that there in the library. And I thought that was a very good recommendation, and I think it's, you know, it's, there's also another document from 1960, I think it's in the 60s or 70s, maybe 71 or something, where they did a master plan even for the existing facility, which I actually think is very relevant because it's very similar in a lot of ways, aging facility at that time. Once we get that copied, I'll get that into the library as well. For just from a historical perspective, I thought it was very interesting. A lot of the same, you know, issues at that time, you know, upcoding and a lot of the aging of the facility and the fire codes were very similar. Similar language, similar results. You know, the square footage is different. The cost per square footage is obviously different, but it really does scale according to our services, which I thought was pretty interesting. So anyway, the point is we made those available. They are in the library, correct? So anyone from the public can go and review those. And just to be clear, that's the 2015 facility conditional assessment by JYL Architects out of Juneau. And they did a very thorough, that's probably the most thorough review of the plant and the facilities, the exterior, the walls. And then also the 2020 master plan, which really takes that information and then does a deep dive on the structural analysis, the engineering and debt capacity, things like that, and services, demographics. And it's a pretty large document. So, and then is the community needs assessment. Also, that's available for people to review. So that's all positive things. Another bullet, I think I definitely want to commend Julie and wellness team and lots of volunteers for the PMC paddleboard and the board. Thank you for putting on the barbecue there. We had a blue sky day. You couldn't ask for a better day. I think we had the best turnout there was, and the combination of the paddlers and the bikers, 30 paddlers, 50 bikers, roughly, largest turnout. And we raised more than $23,000 all towards scholarship and for staff education. So very good effort for sure. Home Health hosted a series of community cafes focused on the community for the Adult Day Service Program. They did four of them, July 20th, 26th, and August 3rd and 9th. And they also had an online survey and a paper survey just to look at the need and to answer questions about, that's a new program they're putting together. So more to come on that. Finance, Jason's on. He'll give an overview of our finance, high level. The audit started. We are still waiting to hear back from the exceptional relief request to the state on rebasing of our long-term care costs because of COVID and a lot of the things I commented on in the previous board meetings related to that. It's still pending with the state, so we're waiting on that. The Treasury grant, which is the $20 million from the infrastructure and Department of Treasury for the new facility, we're still waiting to get approval on that. We had a last round of questions, and we're working very, very hard with the architects to meet the metrics of the bullets of the grant to make sure it follows that. And that's a pretty substantial amount to get us a third of the way towards a new facility. We did hear from another grant for behavioral health, and very excited about this one. It's a HRSA grant, very challenging. HRSA is a Health Services Resource Administration, I believe, and that it's a federal granting agency, and very challenging, very competitive grant. The Falls grant that we received is a HRSA grant, and the behavioral health grant that we just received for $300,000 is a HRSA grant. And we're just getting ready to roll that out. And that's to provide a psychiatrist to assist providers to come on site, to provide telepsych services, and to build out some processes and sustainable behavioral programming with using psychiatry, which is really exciting. I mentioned the water damage from the solarium. Community engagement, KFSK Live. I would like to request the board at the next PMC Live to at least one or two board members to come on. It's a good time to it's live, and I think KFSK is making it available so that community members can call in during the show as well, which is good. So, just putting that out there.
Date on that?
September 7th is the next one, Thursday. So that might be a good one to participate in. Early this week, August 21st, I attended the assembly meeting, and we at our last board meeting, we approved the amendment to start the site work, which was then approved by the assembly this last Monday. Very exciting. Very excited to get that moving as well, as we hear back from the Treasury to work just to get that site work started. And I sent a copy of the summary to the board, but I will at the next board packet, I'll get that into the record as well, just as a copy. So it's the same one I sent to the assembly meeting. Under workforce, we had Don Bieber retire after 16 years at PMC. We had a nice send off for him. Congratulations. One of the things was I'll be starting to make myself available to more staff on a routine basis, just in office hours. I used to do something called Coffee with Phyllis before COVID to try to make myself available to staff. And we're going to try to build off of that, maybe have some managers or a manager or two rotate, or a board member or two rotate to participate in those, and just to see if there's any walk-in opportunities for staff to come in discuss anything they want to discuss. One thing of note, I just want to congratulate Andrew Simmons, a physical therapist, for completing a swim across Frederick Sound. Pretty strong wellness activity, I would say. So there's a KFSK story about it. I think he's one of only two people to do so. So it was pretty cool. I think that's pretty much it from a high level. Obviously, a lot of other things going on, but any questions?
Not any questions, but I do have one question. I think I recall correctly that on the Treasury grant request that they did some follow-up questioning. And so I'm taking that as a tentative positive that they're at least interested enough to ask questions about our proposal.
Yeah, you know, there's going to be some. So the way the Treasury has asked us to use that funding is originally we thought we were able to have it as a funding stack. And what the Treasury wants to see is actually a complete building. And so we built out the support building to make that more complete and follow all the parameters of the grant. And previously that was acceptable, but they had some more questions and they wanted, they had some more language where they didn't want that remainder funding going towards another building that doesn't have a complete funding stack. So then we had to really scramble and build out the design of that main building to make that even bigger. So the support building is actually turning into more of a medical office building. And we'll have more information on that as it comes forward, as we get the final design and request. But that's some of the back and forth language that they're just part of their requirements to make sure we're meeting what they would like. So you know, ideally we would like to use some of that towards you know, to the hospital side of the building. But we know they just that just was a hard no. So we need to then shift a bit, and that was a pretty big scramble for the steering committee met, and the design team had to meet to really accommodate the requirements of the grant and to build that out.
And you're saying medical office building, but there are community opportunities in that.
I meant that from a code standpoint. Like they went from a wood structure to steel, you know, or not steel. Yeah, steel. I think steel frame. Where I think elevator now, you know, that's what I meant by that. But it's actually, they call it the work building, which is workforce, education, and it's for a community. It's going to be bigger, which is good. It's going to be more access, Wi-Fi access, community training, things like that. So it's really a good thing. We're still in early stages, but we may be able to have an MRI in there, which would be phenomenal, because I know that's a big that was a big thing on the community needs assessment and some of the follow-up with the community related to a new facility. So that's just pending right now, though. We'll have to see what the Treasury
says.
Well,
it seems like it might open up some more grant opportunities as well.
Yeah, agreed.
So the other comments that I had was potentially that long-term care could use some of that space as well, where you have community meeting space in that building. But on the pedal paddle battle, I was one of the ones who really was not happy that we diverted from being just the paddle battle. And I have to say, I was so impressed and pleased with the number of people that participated and the broad age range of people that participated, and the change has really been wonderful. So I kudos to PMC staff. They did a great job.
I think Julie is the ringleader here for that, and her staff too. I don't want to, you know, miss out on. There's a lot of stuff. Matt helped quite a bit on the what am I missing? That's the word. The tickets. Thank you. The raffle. That's what I was thinking. Where last year Julie was filling in all the tickets, just something like that. So it was a really well coordinated, very well done, organized, excellent. So yeah, more to come on that, hopefully. And then of course we couldn't order the weather even better than what it was. So that was helpful.
I'm hearing questions on the changes in the design then. How large this other building is going to be? Is it, you know, now going to be taller than originally what we were describing? Is the footprint going to be different? So it sounds like we don't have the final info to present to people yet.
That's right. Yeah, we're working on that. And we were so close to the final design until we got this, a little bit of a curveball thrown at us. So we had to go back, and we wanted to use our second open house at the end of September, but that delays that a bit until we get more information back on this. It really, if you look at it from what it does is it makes the building, I can't remember the square footage, 19,000, it went from 9,000 to 19,000 square feet. So just to give you a sense of that. And the idea was to delete the space from the, so we don't want to make a monstrosity of a campus. So we deleted space from the main building and put it into like non-patient care stuff, you know, conference room space, and then meeting the parameters of the grant as well, where you have education and then IT and access along those lines. But it's complicated. Sounds easy, but it's very complicated, because anytime you shift space, you're moving. You can change workflow, and you change the design, and then the upper floor relies on the lower floor. And if you delete too much, then there's not enough to support. It's like there was all these things that you just don't think about as we're going through the process. So it's fairly complex. And once we have a closer design to that, we'll absolutely present that. But right now we have to, since everything's just really relying on the funding, we need to make sure that we satisfy the elements of the grant before we publish a final design on that.
Yeah. Any other questions for Phil? Thank you, Phil. Financials.
Yeah, this is Jason. Wasn't sure, should I share my screen? Is that visible, or is it best for me just to kind of talk through the highlights?
Should be able to share it.
Sounds like you can share it, Jason.
Okay. So I'll just go through some of the highlights here. This is the income statement we're looking at, but before we get into it too much, I'm just going to focus on the current month because it's the first month of the fiscal year, so we don't have multiple months to report. I always like going over the patient volumes, first of all, and I won't go over them in detail. I'll just speak to them in general, but we had a fairly strong July. Several of the departments saw patient volumes above average for, compared to the average for the previous fiscal year, which is quite impressive considering that it was the month of July. It's the middle of the summer. Typically, we see lower volumes, and they pick up in the fall and in the winter when we have other illnesses and things going on. Always love it when school goes back in session. Nice new. It generates a lot of business for the organization. But, we saw inpatient days were up, resident days were up, ED, radiology, home health even. So that has generated fairly strong gross revenues. We missed the budget by 2%, which is impressive. We have not increased our rates. Typically, we would do that the first of the fiscal year, but we're waiting for that the Medicaid rate review and the exceptional rate relief letter to determine where we need to change those rates to. So the coming close to our budget had everything to do with the patient volumes, and it just speaks to the relationship that everyone is building with the community, gaining their confidence post-COVID and getting those volumes, getting new those service lines reopened and things of that nature. Contractual adjustments a little higher than normal, partly because of some of the write-offs we were doing to finish up bad debt. You'll see that there's a credit there of almost $300,000 for bad debt to reduce the contractual adjustments. I do believe we don't have the new rate review for Medicaid done. And so when that comes through, it will retro back to the 1st of July. And when we know what that is, we'll report it. So I think in a subsequent period, we will identify that contractual allowances will be less. And grant revenue is a little lighter. We're dependent upon our professional organizations that are helping with the construction planning to turn in those invoices. They got everything in for the year end, but they're a little late right now. So we're not showing strong grant revenue there at this point. Working on some additional things, but that'll come forth later in the year, and we'll see that on a year-to-date basis get caught up. Total expenses, lighter than normal. We have not performed the rate increase for the staff as of yet. We're waiting for a word on the rate relief and the exception the Medicaid rate review. So we hope to get that new shortly and be able to take care of both things, the annual change in prices as well as the staff increases. Investments turned positive for us, fairly strong. So overall, our bottom line is close to break even. So 1,566 to the negative, much improved over last year. And we're delighted to see both good cost management and strong patient revenues. And as indicated, there are a couple opportunities to improve it. Want to just glance at the balance sheet a little bit. We are seeing cash rebound just a little bit. Total cash is up to almost $700,000 as of the end of July, up from $470,000 for June. We have not used reserve funds since March. We were able to make it through another month. We've seen some fairly strong collections for the nursing home, the residents there. The business office has been working to, it's a slow process, working through the two different programs that get us the payments there for that. But we reviewed some reports in our revenue cycle meeting yesterday, and it was quite impressive to see our days in AR for the nursing home are down to 48. And so our goal is to be below 50. There, I think there's one resident that we're still working to get some approval on some of their self-pay portion that's early in their admission in the facility. Still pushing hard on HRG with regards to days in ER to get things down. They still need to come down a good 12, 13 days in my expectations. And we have some meetings with some executives, but the team is working very well. We have come down considerably since March, and in some of it's cleanup of CPSI, but we have like long-term care. We've seen some true collections come in through that. We've seen unbilled be addressed, and we've seen some collections on patient accounts, but still quite a bit to come. That's the main thing that I wanted to comment with regards to the balance sheet. Phil had commented on some of the big projects. We're working on audits, cost reports. It's a busy time. I call it finance season, right after the end of the fiscal year, where we're working on just a whole bunch of things. I'll be up on site in September, looking forward to that, to complete several projects and meet with staff face to face, and just have enjoyed great teamwork and significant accomplishments. We did meet with FEMA yesterday and completed another step and getting closer to them making payment on a project that we submitted just before the end of the fiscal year. Estimated payment on that's $250,000-$280,000. So that was processed, and so we're anticipating it's going to be handed over to the state to process the payment here in the next 30 days, no more than 6 weeks. So we got a couple more projects to submit for FEMA with regards to COVID. So we'll let you know as we get those done and we can quantify what they are. So yeah, we're making a lot of things happen in the finance department and greatly appreciate the support of everyone. Back to you.
For Jason. Thank you for that report. We on to new business, CAH utilization review of services and acute care stays by diagnostic board review information only.
Yeah, just a little preface on this. This is a requirement under the critical access hospital designation each year that the board review the utilization under the parameters of the critical access hospital. So Kim has provided that for us. Janet normally would provide this to the board, and it's just to review that information. And if we think that if there's discussion about specific diagnosis and disease, you would go into executive session to discuss those simply because of the low numbers. We want to make sure that there's any comments or anything. We're not breaking any confidential information for the specific types of descriptions and codes under the admissions. So, but it's just we're required to review the utilization of acute care. Kim, do you want to provide more information on that? Just on the description of what it is. Like length of stay, requirements under CMS, that kind of thing.
Put me on the spot. Is there any questions you guys have? I mean.
So just a couple of things. So you'll see there's a quarter, there's days, number of patient days and number of patients, and then there's length of stay. And under Medicare rules, we have to, under a critical access hospital, we have to be under 96 hours for our stay. And the idea behind that is if you're staying beyond that, then you need a higher level of care and you would go to a tertiary care facility. The exceptions to that are programs like swing bed, which is a little bit different criteria under the hospital side. But since Jennifer's right next to you, Kim, she can provide, she's an expert on all that too, if you want to provide any information.
I'm not sure what information you would
just
like.
On the criteria related to swing bed and acute care stays and utilization.
Yeah, so being a critical access hospital just has some certain rules that come with it, and one of them is that you have to have a less than 96-hour average for inpatient stays. And so as you can see, we generally stay under 3 days. Every once in a while, you'll see we're a little bit over But for the for our average, we're definitely under the four-day stay requirement. It's a little tricky because if you need to go to swing bed, so to do a post-acute stay, you have to be there at least 3 days. So that's kind of where some of our longer stays are, these three-day stays that then convert or transfer to a different level of care, which is called our swing bed skilled unit. So I think that's it, unless there's any other questions.
Does a swing bed show up in this total?
This should just be acute care.
Shouldn't be, okay.
Just inpatient.
And what are the points on the side? It says number of days and number of points. On the right side?
Patients. Number, oh. How many patients?
It's patients, not mm-hmm. points, okay.
Yep.
I have a question. For mental health and behavioral health, there have been times when there's nowhere to send people to. What's it like now?
There's still nowhere to send people.
Yeah, no change.
Yeah. I think the physicians do a really great job working with patients and trying to keep them home, because I think that, we oftentimes, if people get sent to a behavioral health facility, they come home like the next day or 2 days later without really any intervention. So we very rarely actually send people out like emergently like we used to do in the past. But I think the physicians do a really great job with kind of addressing those behavioral health issues and getting people stable enough to stay in the community and trying to get outpatient care. We are lucky in Petersburg compared to some other communities that have outpatient services available in the community. So I think that's we don't have psychiatry, but we have at least some behavioral health counselors in the community.
A psychiatry coming soon.
That's right.
Stuff, so. And if you look at, the admissions and, the types of descriptions of what came in, you look for things that are increasing or decreasing, but it's a little bit hard because we're dealing with so little numbers. For example, if you look at mental, behavioral, and neurodevelopmental disorders, and you have to look at the admissions for 2019, 20, 20, 21, 22, it looks like there's certainly more, more than ever, but the numbers are not a lot, so it's a little bit hard to look at trending with that. So you can just see what the trends are with the types of illnesses or diagnosis coming into the inpatient that are being utilized. COVID is a good example. That's a new one. That's the last line there. So in 21 is 16, and then there was 7 and 22 that were in acute care. So just to give you an example of the utilization of our acute care.
Just curious, if psychiatry is coming in and we have this grant, what do you see this helping out as far as behavioral health? How do you see that fitting in?
Yeah, will the telehealth help that?
Yeah, so basically what it's going to do is to improve our access to psychiatry services. So right now, actually, it's been really hard to get referrals done to psychiatry, even though a lot of the psychiatrists in the state are doing telehealth consults now. They're just all so tapped out. Our biggest place that we used to consult was Bartlett, and they've lost a whole bunch of their providers. So when I need to get somebody in to see somebody for psychiatry, we just have really struggled. So what this is gonna do is to open up an ongoing relationship with a single psychiatrist who will come on site for, I don't remember exactly what we're setting up, probably quarterly, to meet with patients, but then also be available to do consults in between, and then also will be available to the medical staff to have us run more difficult patients by. So he's not going to see every patient that has psychiatric needs. We manage most of them, but we can sort of give him a call and say, hey, I wanted to tell you this story, and what would you do with their medicines to basically provide more broad access to some specialty psychiatric care. So he'll work with our current behavioral health team to set that up and sort of just give more, yeah, more access.
One more. When you're looking at the psychiatry, are you looking at a an overall general or more age specific?
The psychiatrist that has we've sort of tapped to be part of, when we were writing the grant, we had to identify somebody to help us. And so the psychiatrist that we're going to work with is a generalist. We have worked with him in the past because he used to work at Bartlett. And before COVID, he was one of the psychiatrists that was coming. And I've had him do really wonderful consults for people in long-term care. I can't remember how low his age range is, because a lot of them, unless they do pediatric specialty, won't see the little kids. But I think that he'll do somewhere in the ballpark of 6 and up. I think, but don't quote me on that. So yeah, he's used to working in Alaska and working in a broad range of people.
Thank you.
Just to add on to that, you know, one of the purposes of the grant is for opioid, overdose and substance abuse. So that's an area of focus. Yeah. More to come on that as we develop that.
Was on that report?
Yeah, and I think it's the only thing as I'm looking through the data here. I mean, we are seeing, you know, if you just look at the numbers, we are seeing the highest number of admissions in 2022 that we've since in the past 4 years, and that's looking at 2019. So, 2020 was a COVID initial year, so obviously that number reflects how low it was. And then we bounced back up into 115 patients in our acute care and 116 last in FY22. And then you look at the number of patient days that's staying in our acute care, that's also quite a bit higher than before. I think if I were to ask Jennifer or Janet here, I would say it's probably not the highest. If you go back in enough time, it's still within probably the parameters, but we are seeing quite a bit of utilization in comparative years. So, and then there's the reasons for those kinds of things, which you can see in the description of diagnosis.
Thank you. Medical staff bylaws. I would entertain a motion. The Petersburg Medical Center's Board of Directors approves the updated medical staff bylaws as submitted.
I so move.
Second. Okay. Comments?
Discussion.
There needs to be page 6, or let's see, where is it? Yeah, page 6. Section 3, item C. It has just advanced trauma, life support, and CALS. And in the previous section, they spelled out the CALS. And it probably should be spelled out there, too. So advanced life support should be inserted in there. It's the only I have on that document.
I think it is at the end, but it would be good to have it there too.
Right. It was spelled out a couple paragraphs ahead, and it should be spelled out again.
Does that stand for again? That's the new certification for the.
Correct. It's another sort of trauma training program that's a little bit more oriented toward rural healthcare facilities that we've been looking at, and we're going to go do some. Some of us are going to go do training in October for that, but it's another advanced life support type training program.
So all he's recommending is that it be spelled out there.
Yeah.
So it's not going to change it, and it's just to spell out things.
Right.
That a amendment to make that change? To spell it out?
I think just maybe contingent on or something, you know?
Yes, and can you rephrase where what section that is in?
It's, hang on. Section 3, item C, next to last line. They added the or CALS, and it just needs to be spelled out, like it is in the previous section.
Is that a roll call or is that just a motion?
That's just a motion okay. And a vote.
So the question's been called for. All in favor of the changes to the medical center board of directors medical staff bylaws with that change to be spelled out? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries. Oops. Medical staff rules and regulations. I would entertain a motion that Petersburg Medical Center Board of Directors approves the updated medical staff rules and regulations as submitted.
Second.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, it's been a second. A discussion?
Yes. You need to accept your changes, your revisions.
What's that?
The document has had revisions done to it, but they haven't been accepted yet. You've
correct.
Got the old
and that's
and
so
new
the board
and,
could see. Huh? That was so the board could see clearly
oh, okay.
What the changes were.
Okay.
For both documents.
Sorry to just ask a question. Can you help me understand the on medications 14-15 just the cross out of the physicians and the addition of the providers? I'm not understanding that's
basically because we now have a nurse practitioner and a physician assistant in our clinic. These rules apply to them as well, and they're not technically physicians, so that we use the more general term providers to kind of refer to all of them.
Yeah, they've just
thank you
number two they've sort of put it in there. Mid-level coverage.
Mid-level yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Question.
Yes.
Instead of provider, should that be medical provider, or something like that? Provider just. Should provider be expanded? The medical provider. I mean, if you're replacing physician with provider, but you haven't defined what a provider is per se. I mean, you sort of do up and above. It's still a medical professional.
I think providers were added because of the physician's assistant and nurse practitioners also provide care. Dr. Hestia, do you remember what?
Yeah, I don't know. That's I see how you're reading it. That's just sort of a pretty common term that we use. But I wonder if there's a definition section in the start of rules and regs where we define some of the terms that we're using. But maybe we just need to add a definition of provider, you know, to say includes MDs, DOs, PAs, NPs, just so that's a little more clear.
The document is labeled rules and regulations of the medical staff. So I would be led to believe that when you're referring to providers, you would revert back to it. It is medical staff providers.
Right. That's correct. Yeah. You would be
internal a document.
Voting member of medical staff has very specific criteria. Yeah. And
so I don't see a problem with it being just providers based off the title of the document. The question's been called for. If there's no other discussion, all those in favor of the changes to the Medical Center's Board of Directors approval of the medical staff rules and regulations as submitted.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Monthly board meeting time change. I would entertain a motion. The Petersburg Medical Center Board of Directors approves moving the regulatory scheduled board meetings from 5 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. Second. Discussion. Main reason for this move is to accommodate both using this facility here and the, it's the pilot or KFSK's?
KFSK.
KFK's yeah. ability yeah. to cover the board meetings at that time.
Yep.
Questions been called for. All in favor of changing the time to 5:30?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Do I have a motion to go into an executive session for the purpose of the board to will enter into executive session to consider medical staff appointments, reappointments, legal matters, and to discuss matters the immediate knowledge of which would clearly have an adverse effect upon the finances of the hospital?